Hello, I'm Robert Cartwright from the Institute of Classical Osteopathy and the Classical Osteopathy Podcast. I'd like to read to you a statement published by the Osteopathic Alliance, commonly referred to as the OA, then discuss the situation and give my own perspective and opinion. Okay, here we go. This is the OA statement on the University College Osteopathy and the BCNO Group News. As an organisation collectively representing 9 diverse postgraduate providers committed to upholding the identity, breadth and depth of osteopathy, the Osteopathic Alliance has read with interest the future-proofing actions of 2 of the 8 undergraduate colleges in response to challenges of the modern economic climate. UCO, or UCO's, ongoing merger with a specialist health sciences and allied health professions university, the Anglo-European College of Chiropractic, and the loss of the BCNO Group's UK undergraduate course at the European School of Osteopathy. The osteopathic profession is not unfamiliar with change. In fact, osteopathy's journey is one where the profession, with its core concepts of osteopathic thinking, has proven to stand the test of time, even in the face of world wars, recessions and regulatory changes. Arguably, this resilience has been achieved by a steadfast lineage of pioneers, educators, practitioners, researchers and others, adapting to change, whilst embracing a common commitment to nurture the fertile soil which supports the distinctiveness of osteopathy to sustain itself and its potential to thrive undiluted in any changing landscape for future generations of students and patients. Nonetheless, the profession may potentially be at a pivotal moment of change. This is because, as we move into the 150th year anniversary of osteopathy and 30 years of regulation, we also move into a period of NHS reform. This NHS workforce solution involves the allied healthcare profession's educational landscape across optional undergraduate, pre-registration and post-registration and international pathways to support an NHS workforce supply pipeline. As osteopathy has been an allied healthcare profession in England since 2017, represented by the Institute of Osteopathy, this may have potential repercussions to the profession. University College of Osteopathy's plans to adopt many of the allied healthcare profession's educational reform frameworks of musculoskeletal focused education, delivered through multidisciplinary interactions and apprenticeships, and the European School of Osteopathy's plan for an allied healthcare profession's multidisciplinary clinic align closely to the NHS workforce supply specifications. This opens an unprecedented shift in the osteopathic educational landscape. The significance of this shift may be debatable, but cannot be ignored. These innovative models change the environment of development, taking training and hence osteopathy's effectiveness and potentially its identity into uncharted waters. It is impossible not to consider the short and long-term implications of these models being introduced at undergraduate, pre-registration or preceptorship levels. This is a time when students are building their knowledge and understanding of the concepts which are unique to osteopathy by starting to apply them in their clinical work. Furthermore, unlike allied healthcare professions, osteopathic students are being trained to become primary healthcare professionals. Any repercussions, no matter how small, to the potential dilution of both professional identity and scope of practice, must be carefully considered. The OA has noticed a decline in standards in these areas for many years. Our experience of UK and international graduates on our courses and within teaching clinics evidences that this decline already affects the ability of many students to grasp the foundations of osteopathic thinking expected for osteopathic practice and ongoing development. Our insights also emphasise the benefit of courses strengthened with more, not less, osteopathic content. the necessity of interaction with tutors and mentors experienced in osteopathic practice, and also the opportunity for students to explore and deepen their grasp of osteopathic concepts as their understanding unfolds experientially over time. We continue to observe that creating and strengthening professional identity and expanding the scope of practice provides osteopaths with the potential to confidently enter and involve in any career choice and in any setting, bringing what is unique to osteopathy to a wider audience of patients. Although the OA recognised that allied healthcare professions' focused learning environments may facilitate entry into NHS careers, we have concerns as to how well they will also prepare osteopaths for broader private and public practice or entry level into postgraduate osteopathic courses. We will be watching with concerned interest the outcomes of educational frameworks which are based on novel, wider healthcare frameworks with largely unknown outcomes themselves. The Osteopathic Alliance continue to be open to collaborative input into the profession, with its best interests at heart, through engagement with all stakeholders. We offer our support to students, faculty and the profession at this time of change. In the meantime, we wholeheartedly wish the University College of Osteopathy and the BCNO Group the best outcomes for their students in the midst of their changing environments, and continue to be supportive of all the other osteopathic education institutions at this time of further consolidation and growth in their essential role in preparing students for a career as osteopaths. With best wishes, the Osteopathic Alliance. These actions, we are told, are in response to the modern economic climate, based on the last 5 years we have been through Brexit, the pandemic, the war in Ukraine and more, and leading the country into an economic downturn with a cost of living crisis, with the escalation of petrol and diesel prices, the escalation of gas and electric prices, and the huge increases in prices for food and supplies in the supermarkets, causing an increase in inflation, leading to the Bank of England putting up interest rates, making mortgages hugely more expensive for many people. This obviously hasn't been a good situation, but I believe it has been being planned by some of the osteopathic institutions previous to this economic situation, while they have been working with other organisations to take osteopathy into the NHS within this allied healthcare professions framework. Hence, we were given the AHP status through the Institute of Osteopathy in 2017. Fantastic, I hear you all say, taking osteopathy into the NHS. I agree it would be great if osteopathy was available in the NHS, but not like this. We were assured 2 years ago that the undergraduate college would not remap education to be recognisable to the NHS, allowing osteopaths to come in and to help plug the hole needed for allied healthcare professions or AHPs within the NHS. What's wrong with that, I hear you ask? Well, it means shorter courses, dumping more osteopathy out of the courses, probably the last remaining components of philosophy and principles which were the basis of osteopathic treatment, the basis of all our treatment, and the basis of osteopathic thinking. Of course, most of this has been removed already, but these changes will remove the last traces of what makes osteopathy a distinct art and science of its own. But this is what the senior management of places like the UK seem to desire. As a group of osteopathic postgrad educators, we have noticed over the last 10 plus years on our courses, this is relative to the Institute of Classical Osteopathy, we have noticed a decline in education levels. When osteopaths enrol on our courses, we have to fill in the holes in education before we can start their postgraduate journey. Otherwise, they don't progress. Fortunately, we have an awesome team of teachers who do this. My understanding is new grads will be able to access the NHS at Band 5, the same level as new grad nurses. Surely with our extensive 4 or 5 year training as primary carers, we should be aiming at something higher than this. Our professional organisation has been pushing for this as they go around asking final year students who are relatively vulnerable and worried about their future if they'd like to be employed when they graduate or be self-employed as associates, which is the traditional route. Apparently most would like to be employed. This is understandable in the current climate, but some context needs to adding to this. My understanding is that in the NHS, after some years in practice, you could top out at Band 8, earning a potential at £38,000 a year. Doing the same in private practice, where you don't have to jump through all the NHS hoops, would be more like £80,000 a year. If they were told this, I expect more final year students would think differently. Not all, but I expect there would be a little bit of a better balance. I haven't met many people who are entirely happy working in the NHS. They often love their job, but hate the bureaucracy and stress it causes. I've seen this many times, and it's similar with teachers. We have all seen these people, decent, hard-working folk who love looking after their patients, ending up off work sick with stress-related conditions. And we need to remember the philosophical underpinnings of allopathy is disease management rather than healthcare. Remember, as osteopaths, we're trying to find health. Osteopathy always has been a bit niche. Not everyone wants it, and definitely a lot of people don't really understand it. And this was quite apparent in the What's Wrong with Osteopathy paper that was published earlier on this year. We're a niche, a cottage industry growing up outside orthodox medicine. And every time we try to align ourselves with orthodox medicine, and they have given us a threshold to achieve, and we've got to that threshold, the bar is then moved. And each time we do this, a little bit more osteopathy is removed. And now we have educators running large undergraduate education establishments who believe osteopathy is a biomedical science, with the addition of the biopsychosocial model, which is wrong. That isn't osteopathy. So we've reached a very sad state of affairs. We have been through economic downturns before. The BSO and BCom, previously known as the BCNO, have been through many and survived. This current change in strategy isn't due to this. It has been planned for some years now and delivered because of the IO, Institute of Osteopathy, and the University College of Osteopathy strategies. The University College of Osteopathy ship was sinking, probably in part because they've removed nearly all the osteopathy from the course already, and that doesn't attract students. Osteopathic students aren't typically people who have decided at a young age that they would want to be an osteopath and finish college at 18 and immediately sign on to train to be osteopaths. Some do, but they're most commonly people who have previously experienced osteopathy and have been impressed with the results and fascinated by the subject, and then become motivated to study as mature students. If you remove what they liked from osteopathy, they will not sign up. It's kind of the opposite to the Field of Dreams quote, "If you build it, they will come," but more like, "If you destroy it, they won't come." UCO appear to be leaving their failing model to jump onto a ship that is already sinking, which is the NHS model. I'm not knocking the NHS, I love it, but I definitely wouldn't want to work in it. And blimey, it's in a terrible state now, being back to having to wait 2 years for a hip replacement, and that's without having to wait 6 weeks to get a GP appointment first. Nearly all uni courses are struggling for bums on seats. There were many physio places left in clearing this year, and it was apparently the easiest year ever to get onto a medical degree. And this is not just in England, but in many EU countries. What do we do in this situation? Well, my experience of having been through about four previous recessions is that you cut spending, batten the hatches and weather the storm. It has also always been said that the businesses that increase their marketing budgets during recession come out the best and recover the soonest. I've always found that as a business, osteopathy has always been relatively recession-proof. Or if you do get a slowdown, we're one of the last to be affected. The other reason we are told that the bigger London undergraduate colleges are struggling is because London is expensive. These colleges have always been in London and it has always been expensive. My wife trained at the BSO from 2008 to 2012 through the banking collapse and the following austerity measures. The BSO was still running nearly at 100 students per year then. So what have they done since to kill their market? The out of London smaller colleges seem to be managing okay and are well subscribed with students. I wonder why they can do it. I hope these smaller colleges don't shorten and reduce osteopathic training further. I hope they stand their ground and maintain some degree of connection with our rich history, delving deeper into osteopathy to gain a greater understanding of how they can help more people with this fascinating art and science. I've been through a thing I call the osteopathic itch and been witness to it on many occasions, and it's a really common topic on social media and the email groups that we used to have before the days of social media. The osteopathic itch is the point at which an osteopath decides that they want to learn something else, as the osteopathy they know isn't doing what it ought to do. This often happens 5 to 10 years post-grad, when osteopaths have treated quite a few people and they think they need this or that as an adjunctive measure to improve their outcomes. This might also manifest in the call for prescribing rights, or that they should call themselves doctor. One of the CPD groups I subscribe to is forever talking about shockwave therapy and dry needling, and there is quite a scarcity of osteopathy on there. I was in a meeting with a well-known CEO of the largest osteopathic organisation about 8 weeks ago, and he said it was amazing and surprising all the extra adjunctive treatments that they were having to add onto their insurance policy every year. Why do you think this is? Well, I think it's because of the failure of the undergraduate institutions to teach an effective therapy. So osteopaths search for something more, like dry needling, cupping or shockwave therapy, or prescribing rights. My belief from my own experience is that they have plumbed the depths of the biomedical science that they have learned and found it wanting, so need to learn something else to help their patients. What I now know is at that point you've only just scratched the surface of osteopathy, and what I believe they need to do is develop their understanding of osteopathy deeper. And this allows you to help your patients more and is incredibly fulfilling and interesting. In fact, the learning never ends. I was at a seminar this summer with a well-known osteopath who's been in practice nearly 35 years, relative to my mere 26 years. We were listening to an extremely well-known colleague who is incredibly knowledgeable, presenting a lecture on the emotional field of osteopathy, and I heard him whisper to himself, "Just when you think you're starting to get to the point where you know it all, or worse to that effect, you find out there's a lot more to learn." And that is the beauty of osteopathy. The learning journey doesn't end. We're all on that learning curve somewhere. Just some are in front and others behind. So we owe it to osteopathy and our colleagues to pull along the ones behind us and to push further forward the ones in front so we can dig on. So what I would suggest is, when you get to that point where you're looking for something else to learn because you feel that there's been something missing in your education, or that you know all of what osteopathy has to offer, don't look elsewhere. Come and study with us at the Institute of Classical Osteopathy, so we can start you on a new journey to deepen and enrich the osteopathy you have previously learned. Because if you have found osteopathy fascinating, you'll love it. Thanks for listening. If you'd like further information about the Institute of Classical Osteopathy, please go to our website, which is www.classical-osteopathy.org. Remember, it's the Institute of Classical Osteopathy and not the Institute of Osteopathy. Or come to our conference at Denby's Vineyard near Dorking in Surrey on March the 16th and 17th, 2024, where we'll be celebrating our 70th anniversary. Information and tickets are also available at our website, which is, as I said, www.classicalosteopathy.org. Thank you. Goodbye.